Hey, Spittin' Chiclets listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 304 of Spittin' Chiclets, presented by Pink Whitney from our friends at New Amsterdam Vodka here in the Barstool Sports Podcast family. It's Halloween week, Halloween weekend here. We got some tricks, we got some treats, but let's first say hi to a couple of goblins. Producer Mikey Grinnelli, any plans for the big weekend? I know COVID's ruined it for everybody, but anything shaking?
No specific plans. Halloween this weekend. I knew Biz was glowing a little extra today. RA, you, on the other hand, you promised us a good Halloween costume because you got the long hair. So I'm excited to see your Instagram and Twitter this weekend.
That's right. You did promise us that.
I don't have any parties to go to.
Don't try to get out of this. I haven't been introduced yet, but don't even begin. This is too early. This was all themed towards a Halloween costume.
Hey, we'll do a Zoom Halloween party with all our Chiclets fans, and RA is going to host it.
All of a sudden,
I would actually love that.
Hey, all of a sudden, the big guy with the big hose from all of quarantine just pops into the Zoom, like somehow he's involved.
Oh, the guy who got meme. What's his name?
The guy who got Barry with the playoff predictions.
I love Barry. RIP, Barry. Love you.
And I actually did go down the basement today because I moved some pictures recently, so I knew where they were. And I dug through and found a couple of our old Halloween costumes I sent to the boys. Maybe we can spit them out on the Instagram a little later. But let's say hi to Paul, Biz Nasty, Bissonette. What's up, guy?
Me before wit. Guys, I'm the coolest guy one day of the year, and it's Halloween because of my fucking scarecrow tattoos. So I hope I get a lot of tweets about it, pumping my tires about how amazing it is. Free cover charge. Now, let me give you a little bit of advice. Lay off the candy, okay? And that might seem very simple off the hop here, but it's leading into something. So, Whit, I go to the fucking dentist last week. Was I a little bit behind because of COVID? And I didn't think putting myself in that environment necessarily right away. So I missed my, like, what do you do them every 3 months checkup?
Six months, I think you get your teeth cleaned by a dentist and maybe check for cavities.
So I went about 8 to 9 months. So she goes looking around, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. A few like, ooh, like that was a little sensitive here, there. Well, she proceeds to tell me I have 10 fucking cavities.
Dude, are you sure you want this out there?
Are you publicly disclosing this?
10?
I know, RA.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Buddy, what do you brush your teeth with Diet Coke and use licorice to floss?
If anybody knows me and watches me brush my teeth, I do it for about 10 fucking minutes.
It's crazy.
Do you floss?
I get every fucking tooth.
Do you floss?
I floss with those plastic things.
Those things. All right. So that's not how you're supposed to correctly floss. You got to use real floss. All right.
You're telling the plastic things fucked me for 10 cavities?
Yeah, buddy. I don't.
Stop using a G-string, Biz.
Ten
cavities.
RA's plus one out of the gate. Second assist.
Oh, 10 cavities is maybe the trashiest thing you've ever told me,
buddy,
about yourself.
Okay, so obviously my wheels are spinning. So then I get the
a horrible couple days, man.
Okay, so then I get the bill and I see it's $2,500 for future. Uh-huh. I haven't done this yet, right? So then,
and
in the
that
car,
ain't
I'm,
going
you know,
down in Biz Nasty's world, people.
Well, then I start. I'm like, should I go get a second opinion? Like, maybe they were a little slow. They need a few extra funds. And they're like, this guy's a fucking old hockey player. Look at his nose. Look at his greasy. Look at him. We could fucking sandbag this guy. So I think I almost have to go for a second opinion to hear someone tell me I'm in the double digits for cavities, considering I've went 3 months over my last visit or beyond.
And 13 months, dude. Like, or 23. Like, I think you're lying about the last time you went. So that's the only explanation. Or the guy got it completely wrong. It was looking at somebody else's teeth x-rays.
Well, here's where you're wrong. Okay, so here's where you're wrong, because my ex-girlfriend used to work at the place. Okay, so there was another theory, but I'm not going into that.
They were probably using fluoride with like acid in it.
You can actually brush her.
Okay, so everyone's probably having a good chuckle, but there's no way this whatever. Now, if in fact I go to someone and they're like, yes, you do have 10 cavities. It's remarkable. What have you been doing over quarantine to warrant 10 cavities, and we recommend you start flossing with a G-string. I said, has it been ever been done in one sit? And they're like, no, you can't do 10 one sit. So if in fact I have 10, I think my punishment should be to go back there and get all 10 in one sit. They recommended five at most.
I thought three was kind of the max.
That's a long time for a film.
I've had horrible work done with root canals.
Ari's dead serious right now, and I'm having the biggest chuckle about all this. And this is my mouth we're talking about.
Well, dude, your mouth is an absolute pigsty of a place, and I can't believe that's actually the news you got. Imagine you go to the second opinion and he's like, you got 14 cavities. You have to pull all your teeth and get dentures if the guy goes up on the cavities at the second
well I'll
opinion.
Be one step closer to having nice teeth like Avery. So I mean, I don't know, let's put up a poll. What would be harder, me accomplishing the Tour de France or me going 10 cavities in one sitting? So
cavities.
Listen, I thought the boys would have a good chuckle at my expense regarding that subject. I mean, am I embarrassed that I have 10 cavities? Yeah, I am. But I'm also embarrassed that I've shit my pants before and even did it as an adult in an airport. I'm embarrassed about somebody else shitting my bed. I'm embarrassed about a lot of things, but you guys are like my buddies, so I feel
You're
like
open.
I got to share these things.
And also too, Biz, I had I was starting to get a spot on my tooth. Of course, you get older, whatever, smoking, drinking tea, coffee for years, whatever. You can actually brush your teeth too hard, and you can literally brush the enamel right off them, which is what I did. I always thought harder brushing was better, and you literally fucking take the enamel right off. So they said sometimes you could just switch to your soft hand to brush or just get an electric. But
you're telling me I've brushed 10 cavities onto my teeth?
No, that's I'm telling strength. You I brushed the enamel off mine.
No, but it's there's like four potential theories here, but I mean, ultimately I hope that I wasn't being sandbagged and that's actually what it costs to replace 10 cavities and it's not 14 and I do it in one sitting and we all have a big laugh about it if I make it through it.
Yeah. I had to get a root canal and my guy couldn't do it. So he had to refer me to another guy. These motherfuckers during a pandemic, I, you know, when you get a medical bill, sometimes you put it off to the side. It's not a credit card bill. These motherfuckers after like a month sent me to a collection agency in the middle.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, all
right. They want their dough for that canal.
So, I paid that motherfucker in person. I was like, I know this isn't your call to the secretary. I was nice. I says, can you pass it up the ladder? It's absolutely ridiculous to put people's name to send a name to a credit agency. Like during a 6-month, 8-month pandemic, you don't know what people's fucking financial situations were. Granted, mine didn't change, but that's besides the point.
We got to give RA one of those cams, the GoPros put on your forehead for all these crazy interactions.
RA goes full Karen at dentist. Yeah.
I am interested to see what you pull out of your pull out for a Halloween RA, because I feel like that was a promise. Now, okay. I feel like we should mention, considering we're done having a little chuckle at my expense, that on a sadder note, we're not going to be talking for the next month. We're going on a full month hiatus, although we will be rolling out some interviews for you guys. We have some great ones lined up. G's going to get mad at me because you're going to be bugging him about it. I thought we got Alex Tuck. He was awesome. He was over an hour, talked about we went all over the place. Today we have a special guest, and I'll let you tee that up, RA.
Well, of course, we got to say hi to Whit, though. I know he's been talking about it.
Sorry.
I got OCD, so I got to do
it. You didn't say hi to me. Yeah, what's
I thought there? He was frozen.
No, only one who hasn't froze so far tonight. I know. I did say, Biz, from the top of the show, we have some treats for you, and that means we got a huge guest tonight, EP40, Elias Pettersson of the Vancouver Canucks. We had a blast talking to this kid. I mean, you know, I love when we get the Europeans. It's just a different style about them, different swag or whatever. I had a lot of fun talking to this kid. Did you guys or not?
I had a blast. This guy gave me the business too. You'll hear. He had no fear whatsoever in chirping me. I respected the hell out of that. I also think that he didn't know what was going on as he got in, and you could tell he kind of loosens up. And then I really noticed the video, I think, will show his personality a little more than maybe what you're about to hear, but the video will be out on Instagram and all that. I just had a fun time because this is an interesting cat. So we talked about a bunch of different things I think you'll enjoy.
No doubt. We'll get to that a little later. But first, we're actually going to kick off a little baseball tonight. I know that's not frequent on Chicklets, but the World Series, Game 6, Tuesday night. I mean, I trash baseball all the time. I goof on it, but I love the World Series. I still watch it. We got a great game before that. Tampa Bay won late. I've never seen anything this stupid in a lifetime of watching World Series. What's his name? Kevin Cash, manager of Tampa. He pulls Snell. The guy gives up a second hit in the sixth inning, 5 1/3 innings he's pitched, 73 pitches. He pulls the guy after giving up a single. The next three batters all struck out twice that night, 0 for 6 with six Ks. And because of these fucking analytics that drive me up a wall, it's half the reason I hate fucking baseball. Pulls the guy. Of course, Dodgers go up 2-1, end up winning 3-1, winning the series. Obviously, 4-2, I had a couple of fucking pesos on fucking Tampa, and I hate the Dodgers, but just an awful, awful managerial decision, Whit.
One of the worst. I can't even remember. Something is dumb. And when you talk about how people reacted, like, you can listen to fans and like analysts after, but the most amazing thing I saw was Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz were interviewing Bellinger. Oh, yeah. Is it Cody?
Yeah.
Cody Bellinger. You think that guy gets laid in LA? Oh my God. That's for another story. This guy's getting interviewed by these two Hall of Famers. And they asked him, I think it was A-Rod, said, what was your thought when you saw that they were pulling Snell? And he started laughing. He's like, oh, thank God we finally had a chance. And then Mookie said the same thing. Like, when he got pulled, he's like, oh, maybe I'll actually get on base. It was analytics. The argument that everyone has on the other side is that analytics got this team with the lowest payroll, I don't know, in baseball, one of the lowest payrolls in pro sports, to the World Series, and it gave them so much success, and analytics is the major reason behind it. Now, so if like you gotta dance with what got you there, and I think that I just butchered that saying, but
no, I liked it.
You know what I mean?
Fuck everyone else.
Dance with the one you brought. I don't know, but I think everyone knows what I meant.
I'm on that one. I think you should be able to do
that. All right, fair enough.
My bad.
Well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. That. They're saying, well, why would I change what got us here? Well, why would you change it? Why would you not pull this guy? Because he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's grooving. Two hits, 73 pitches. When I was little, like 1994, I was 11 years old. I don't remember who the World Series was, but I remember watching Nolan Ryan bomb 101 mile an hour fastballs. He'd throw 140 pitches some nights. Like, you can change the regular season and how you save guys' arms with analytics. I understand. But when you got your ace back in the day, dude, the ace used to go nine innings. They'd pitch complete game winners in the fucking World Series. And this dude was willing to do that. This Snell was probably sick to his stomach. He's probably had tears in his eyes when he got the hook. There's an old thing of Mike Mussina yelling at, I don't know if it was Joe Torre, someone in New York, is get the fuck back in the dugout when he saw him coming out. Snell didn't do that, but Jesus, man, what a shitty way to end that game, end that series, because I thought there was going to be a game seven. I took Tampa too. I took them game two and game four already, so I was sticking with it. I was 2-0 in the series on just them in 3 and 2 and 4. So it sucked. And the analytics part, I do agree. I guess a team that's paying the whole team less than they're paying Mookie, that's the only way they get to where they are. But at some point, you got to look like, man to man, this guy's a fucking lion on the mound. He didn't want to be taken out.
Yeah, and like also game six, like I get why they were doing the low pitch counts for like the regular season just to kind of get everyone in it. And as you mentioned, to kind of save arms. But like they're nothing to save it for at that point. You just had a shortened season and these guys are used to throwing more. And going back to those interviews, is it Mookie Betts? Is that how I say it? Yeah. Interesting guy too. Like I didn't realize how big of a stud this guy was on the field until all the stuff with the Sox. Sorry to hear it. G's like rolling his eyes right now. But he said, he goes, the way that the other guy was pitching Snell, he's like, we couldn't see it. Like we couldn't track it at all. And he goes, that's just the way the night goes. And when like an ace is on like that, like you said, they were already 0-for-2, the next three guys, and all of which might've been strikeouts. So like he said, they had a big chuckle over that, but yeah, that was, I ended up turning on the game after that. And then that Mookie Betts made it 3-1 by hitting that jack. I didn't catch all the action. I saw Twitter, light up. And that's why I started watching. So interesting breakdown. And
the guy, the guy that they brought in had given a run up in six straight games.
It would be like
killing a penalty with a minute 20 to go in game seven of the Cup Finals, or game six, if you want to get real accurate. And I happened to be on a team with Nick Lidstrom, and the coach was like, hold on, Lidstrom. let's get Whitney out there. And you threw me on the PK and immediately the other team scored because of something I did. And you'd be like, that was the analogy.
Yeah. Someone made the analogy on Twitter too that it was the equivalent to pulling Tretiak in the 80 Olympic game. And I thought, I mean, I know the circumstances are a little different, but it was along the same lines. And mentioning pitch counts, they fucking weren't even a thing, I don't know, 20 years ago. Because I actually went to look up, and speaking of Mookie, Biz, that's a name that triggers many generations of Sox fans now, going back to the 86 World Series. Mookie Wilson was at bat when they ended up coming back in that epic game six. And I looked up because like there was some controversy about Clemens coming out of that game. With I knew you were fucking, I don't even feel born yet, a baby, whatever.
Oh, I followed Clemens as shit.
And Clemens
in Toronto.
He said he wanted to stay in. The coach said that, no, he wanted to come out. But I looked up. He went seven innings, gave up four hits, two runs. Like, it wasn't like, okay, it wasn't like a piss-poor decision. But, like, I couldn't find a pitch count. I was looking at the box score. There wasn't even a pitch count on a box score from 1986. And now it's this thing that these guys go way too deep on. Like, and also, like, who the fuck cares how fast the ball comes off a bat when the guy hits it? Like, it's just... Like, does the Joe average six pack need to know that shit? It just over.
Well, it shows also my theory, not my theory. I guess it's a theory. I don't think anything comes close to football, but if anything does, it's baseball in terms of how much a manager can, like, or a coach can actually make, like, change the game. Football's number one. The plays they're calling, but I think that coaches matter so much in football. But baseball, that just shows this guy. I mean, there had to be his bench coach. There had to be players on that team thinking, what is this guy doing right now?
Whoa, what's he doing?
And then I also read if he were to get fired, which I don't think you'd fire him. I mean, horrible decision, but look what the season they had. Like, he'd get hired the next day. So the guy's a good coach. I just think he lives and dies by numbers.
That's
seen
a big
it.
Pizza.
Yeah,
pizza
exactly.
Up the middle, game seven. Whoopsie daisy.
And no more
we
baseball.
Have a new boo king for commissioners of sports, because Rob Manfred got it hot and he seemed pretty fucking rattled when it happened, man. This guy, I don't know if he was drinking during the game or if he was nervous, and there's not even close to a full house. He was getting booed pretty good, and it seemed like it really affected him, Biz. Did you catch that?
Well, somebody tweeted out that he was drunk. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Everything. I'm missing all this crazy stuff in this game. The minute I turned it off.
The commissioner was loaded?
Somebody said that, but I don't know if there was confirmation. Maybe the booze rattled him that much, but Jesus Christ, maybe get a pep talk with Bettman. That guy eats booze.
And then
he loves it. Bettman's got like the Hulkster, like, yeah, let's go. Let's hear the other side.
For me.
And then you got like they had to pull Justin Turner from the game because his positive test for COVID came out during the game. And then he goes back on the field with his mask, takes it off. I mean, I guess he's been with those guys the whole time, but it was just like, I don't know. I mean, kudos to baseball and the Dodgers for winning, but what a clusterfuck that guy was during this
people
whole
went nuts online. I was like, okay, time to sign off.
Yeah. Oh, anyways, moving right along. Hockey in Massachusetts was a big story since the last episode. There were clusters of cases allegedly linked to hockey. I say allegedly because I don't know how it was proven. I guess there were 108 confirmed cases out of like 50,000 registered players, less than a quarter of a percent, depending on who's doing the math for you. So the powers that be here in Massachusetts put a 2-week stoppage to all youth and recreational hockey. Delays my cold weather bower exercises for now, but a lot of people in the hockey community here in Massachusetts, not happy. I mean, I didn't get it with myself. Like, okay, what's 2 weeks going to do here? It just seemed kind of too specific. I don't know what I knew you had some.
Yeah, I've been, it was frustrating for me to see because you know that these kids are, for the most part, what I've been told is everyone was doing a good job in terms of, you're not going to the rink if you feel sick. The tracing thing where you have rosters being given out at the games by parents. You see a bunch of other things going on that are fine. And basketball in the state where it's indoors as well and people are rubbing up against each other more than hockey, like that hasn't been shut down. And if it's 2 weeks, whatever, all right? But if they end up doing where they're pushing the goalpost back and then it's two more weeks, then all of a sudden all these kids who – they can't go to school. They can't play hockey. I mean, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing to kids that don't deserve for this to be happening to them? So certainly there's people out there who are irresponsible and maybe are issues in terms of why there are spikes. I mean, that's a conversation that is way more in depth than what we're going to have. But in terms of like everyone being affected, like a bunch of kids playing hockey, I don't really see how that's fair if a million other things are going on. So if it's 2 weeks, that'll be it. If it's not, then you start thinking, all right, well, we got to do something. We got to figure something out to help these kids out. Get them back playing where they should be. It's healthy. You can live your life. You exercise. Be with your friends. You can't just shut these kids' lives off.
Yeah, like the 2 weeks feels arbitrary. It's not like everybody's going to go home and quarantine for that 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like the fucking things are still bouncing around. But anyways, yeah, hopefully the kids here in Massachusetts can get back to playing in Massachusetts and not have to go to other states, which I know all the people, that's the instinct. Let's go somewhere else. And then, you know, you do run the risk of bringing an infected kid somewhere else, which is fucking, you know, and a fucking clusterfuck from the get-go. Anyways, listen, regardless of what Major League Baseball analytics said Tuesday night, there are some numbers you just don't want to mess with. In 2019 alone, 126 people were killed and 635 people were injured in collisions at railroad crossings. From 2014 to 2019, there were 798 fatalities involving motor vehicles at railroad crossings. By law, trains have the right-of-way at all railroad crossings. That's why our friends at NHTSA and the FRA, the Federal Railroad Administration, want you to be very heads up when approaching a railroad crossing. Trains cannot swerve, stop quickly, or change direction to avoid collisions. A train traveling at 55 miles per hour takes a mile or more to stop. So when approaching a railroad crossing, slow down, look, and listen for a train on the tracks, especially at passive crossings. You know it's true that there's no excuse that's worth risking your life for at a highway rail grade crossing. So be sure to stop, because trains can't. All right, boys. I've said that before.
That was a biz ad read.
Dash, back to even.
You need a little cleaning up there. Speaking of numbers, how about fucking Wayne? Wayne Gretzky put his house on the market. I don't know how long it's been on there. I saw
one?
A post. Well, his one in California, $23 million.
Oh, is that the one on Sherwood? That course that they just played at?
I believe so.
Yeah, oh, Finn, on that place.
Finn's barking. Can you guys hear that?
Mr. Finn again. $23 million? On his crib is 23 sheets.
23 sheets. It's gorgeous. It's like an estate. I think it's the house where in the pool they filmed the scene from Atu was standing in line. What's the band called? Nickelback, Rockstar.
Bugsy's favorite band. He partied with him and stuff.
That's like the one day a year I'll listen to them because I got my Halloween tattoo. That's cool. Put the bandana on. I'm through with standing in line.
I know you got that tattoo, but you got that tattoo back in the day when you're like, Halloween's the sickest night of the year to go out and rip it. Like, now I'll get into every club because I got a tattoo for
it. I'll say this.
Then 10 years later, you grew up.
Better than tribal or barbed wire. Come on. That's a step above.
Barbed wire on the bicep. If you have that right now, guys, everyone at home, you're laughing, looking down at your bicep with a barbed wire. But you know, you had a couple years where you were the balls.
Hey, no word of a lie. I think Dan Girardi has a tattoo where it's barbed wire, but where it meets on the bicep, it's tribal. He's got the
both. He's got the double.
He's got the collab, man.
Is he a Welland boy?
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna get a tramp stamp.
Is he a Welland boy?
He's a Welland boy. Yeah.
When's he coming on?
He's a funny fucker too. I don't know if he'd let it fly on the podcast, given like that. Like anytime anyone comes on now, they try to get canceled. Little nudge from what the fuck is going on now.
You guys don't even understand what it's like to deal with certain people nowadays. We're dropping interviews. Elias Pettersson, who's unreal. Great time, and then all of a sudden we put out that he's going to come on the pod. You're going to hear it in a couple minutes, and he's got people coming at him online who say Biz and the podcast are misogynistic and racist. It's fucking bullshit, but these people are such pigeons. Elias realized, you know what? I'm not going to listen to these losers online. I had a lot of fun doing this podcast with these guys, and I'm going to let the interview roll because nothing happened. And those people aren't what the podcast host that I was with. They aren't what these people say they are. So fuck you. And you're trying to make our lives more difficult, but in the end, you don't matter again because we have another awesome guy who comes on and tells his story, talks about his love of hockey, and enjoys it. So take a hike and beat it. These people are such losers online.
Seriously, just ignoring things you don't want. You don't like it, don't watch it. But fuck with other people because they do.
How are we?
Well, I was going to hop in. It makes it a little difficult because like we're trying to give every fan base what they want. We want to interview their favorite players. We want to get them on here. And like in this case, this kid is like a sweetheart. This kid would not harm a fly. You know what I'm saying? And like a lot of people from the Vancouver fan base who listen to the podcast you know, they wanted him. His captain came on. So he comes on. We have a great one. We wanted to tease it a little bit for all you Vancouver fans who listen to the show. And then, like, Petey's got to feel like go online and see the people are like their fucking kids are they're burning their kids' jerseys and they're going out to get a Quentin Hughes one or something. And it's just like it's just very excessive. Like, listen, have we maybe said some things on the podcast that have upset people? But like, I don't know, misogynistic, racist. Like, those are some pretty fucking lazy terms to be thrown out. Like, based on what everybody who's listening right now hears from the show. Like, guys, I used to talk about my sex life. Like, I guess if that makes me misogynistic, because like there were like silly, ridiculous stories. Like, I guess I'm like sorry for not being sorry about telling them in the past. I'm clearly living a different life now, where like that's behind me. But
even
still,
if you weren't, you're telling like stories of your life that people are interested in. Like, these people are such losers. Just don't listen. Like, all
right. Oh no, but right. So like but also in the same breath is like, you know, me and RA spend a bit more time maybe on social media than Wit. I'm trying to siphon through like what our fan base likes. I'm trying to like collect like, okay, yeah, it seemed like people really enjoy this. Let's maybe try to do a little bit more of that. Like Grinnelli, you're going down the streaming, because guys, as Pettersson talks about in the interview, like he wants to do streaming. Nathan MacKinnon just started streaming. They're all these brand, younger guys. Please. This is a good way for like our audience to connect with those guys through like I don't play much video games. When I do, I get spanked, but Grinnelli's on there grinding it out. So we're just trying to like, you know, run a tighter ship than maybe we did at the start, but we're still going to let it fly. We're still going to have fun. And if it means we're not getting your favorite players on, then fuck that, because I ain't fucking changing. And that JD Burkus dude can lick my ball bag. I don't give a shit. No, I'm dead serious. Like, I don't care. Like, did you do the research? Like, do you know anything? Do you know we shut the show down when things erupted as far as the Black Lives Matters movement? Like, guys, like when that shit, like I'd say I'm fairly liberal and I'm from Canada. When that shit's happening down there, I was a wreck. Like, it gives me anxiety. So, like, we care about these social matters that some people are letting it fly, like, that we don't care about. No. And we're trying to handle it even more and more maturely as we go on, because we know we do have a bit of a voice. And there are younger people listening to the show. And we have to get to a subject in a little bit here that's a bit of a Debbie Downer. But we're, like, there's certain things that I won't say anymore. I don't use the word kills anymore. I try not to. I tell Grinnelli to take it out if I accidentally say it. I'm trying to move my line for you, but there's some things I can't reason with. Like that JD fucking Burkus, lick my fucking nuts.
Burkus sack.
I'm done with you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you mentioned his name. I don't follow him. I didn't even hear about him until like the last week. And he wrote, I'm less upset or mad about Elias Pettersson for going on Chicklets, which he wouldn't even name, than I am at the institution of hockey for letting Chicklets become a thriving part of the culture in the first place.
Okay, like, so here's
fuck yourself, pal.
Here's the
market
institution.
The institution of hockey didn't let us in. There was a fucking market and we filled the void. And that's what fucking happened. So put it in your fucking pipe and smoke a dick.
Believe me, it would be better off to not have to deal with this shit and like just hide out in this little corner here. That's why we do podcasts. This is not being shoved down your throat, ladies and gentlemen. You got to click to get here. So that's why we do it on the Barstool platform, because we're allowed to let it fly. We're a TSN, a Sportsnet, or whatever major company that we work for, they'd say, you can't say that. Fuck you. I'm going to say what the fuck I want.
And that shit too, like the Holy Trinity, racist, sexist, homophobic, which doesn't apply to us. And a lot of it is just old, like Dave said, some stupid shit over the years, like old bad jokes, bad attempts at jokes. We don't have to go over them now. And they just, I think most of the people when they say Boston, they're just bitching about Dave for the most part. And hey, I'm obviously loyal to Dave. He's been fucking great for me. But they just, those pieces that are written, oh, look at this thing from the Daily Beast. Like, listen, I was a fucking media major. Those are the epitome of slanted hit pieces. Half the people who write them don't even work for that outlet. They get hired specifically to write about the worst parts of Barstool that they think and spin it that way. And those are the stories that people tag to strangers. So the only impression they have of Barstool or Chicklets is some fucking 6-year-old Daily Beast article that was designed to make us look like shit in the first place. So whatever. We know.
Well said. And all in all, the way it ended, though, I think you'll enjoy the interview. Made the right decision.
All right. Well, we got a little ways to get to before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shitload of signings, boys. A lot more. I know a lot of the free agents went, but now we're kind of in
the restricted. That felt good to let off my chest, by the way. I know we ranted a little bit there, boys, but this is the shit that, like, I'm fucking done dealing with it.
All right, let's move it over to the signings. Like I said, most of the unrestricted free agents are off the board. They're onto the restricted free agents arbitration. There's only been one hearing so far. Detroit forward Tyler Bertuzzi was awarded a one-year, $3.5 million deal. He had 21 goals, 27 assists last year in 71 games. He was the first RFA to have a hearing. Either of you guys ever have arbitration or hear some horror stories about arbitration?
I've heard horror stories in a sense that guys go in there and the team will say the meanest shit possible. They'll make
He's
fun of his
small horror.
They'll make fun of his dog at home. They'll bring up like how shitty the car is he's driving. Although maybe not that, because then they could pay him more money for a nicer one.
That's
you know true. What I'm saying? It's not pleasant. And I think a lot of times there's been stories or there's history of guys like never wanting to play for that team again after they hear the way the GM or whoever's there kind of talks about them. So it's a business, but nobody, I think, enjoys – certainly players don't necessarily enjoy going to arbitration unless they get an enormous payday from it, which used to never happen. Maybe it happens a bit more now.
It's like, Mr. Arbitrator, this guy can't play on the first line because the first line center complains about how bad his breath is during games. So we cannot pay him first line money.
Who got a huge arbitration?
He has
like
the biggest
deal.
Bush, Your Honor. He does not shave his nuts.
He has not shaved.
Have
his
you seen
bag in
the barbed
six
wire?
Months.
Have you seen the barbed wire and tribal tattoo on his arm, Your Honor?
Either way,
he has clothes from Abercrombie, Your Honor. Abercrombie.
Good prove it, yeah, for Bertuzzi though, Biz. I mean, he has another deal like this. So got a nice little bump in payout, I imagine.
Yeah, no, he's a heck of a player. He's got that like old school throwback look too. I think I saw online is him and his girl posted a picture. They got his mouth of him smiling as made as one of the masks for COVID.
Yeah,
so they're buzzing around. So he's a funny dude, and he's Todd Bertuzzi's nephew, right?
Correct. Yeah. Half of Twitter thinks it's his son every time he does something on the ice, but no, it's his nephew. So. Moving right along, the Senators, a team we've been, I don't know, mildly stroking off a little bit. Connor Brown, he avoided arbitration, signed a three-year deal. $10.8 million comes out to $3.6 million a year. Chris Tierney also avoided arbitration, signed for 2 years, $7 million, $3.5 million cap hit. He came over on the Erik Karlsson bounty. That trade's looking better and better for Ottawa every day. They also signed unrestricted free agent Alex Galchenyuk to a one-year, $1.05 million deal. Biz, League Sens, man, they could be pretty frisky next year, whenever it is.
I tell you what, good for him. I feel that like he's a guy where like he's high octane. He needs to fire on all like the skill cylinders. We saw a guy like Anthony Duclair go there and do what he did with a player's coach and a new environment and maybe where they're allowed to like, you know, play a little bit more of their style of play. And, you know, Galchenyuk's been bouncing around a little bit here. And I think given with where that team's at and the fact that maybe there's not that pressure to win now, he could, you know, reinstill that confidence in his game, which, I mean, if you don't have it and when you're that highly skilled, if you don't have your confidence, like you're pretty much, I guess, useless. Cause as far as a depth player, he just doesn't have those types of tools. So a perfect non-risk deal for the Ottawa Senators. I hope he does well. He's a great kid. He's never really been able to stick anywhere and kind of make his imprint on any organization. So I just kind of compared it to the Duclair situation where he's a guy who went there, found that, and he was the same type of guy. Like he just couldn't land on his feet in any organization he went to. So Gally, hope you land on your feet, pal.
I also like Connor Brown, man. That must have been tough to get traded from Toronto. I mean, Toronto's got all these young pieces, and he goes over to Ottawa, and, you know, last year's a disaster for them, but he was good. That guy skates, he competes, so I like that signing a lot. And I think that Ottawa's – they're going to surprise now. I mean, I think they're still going to be they're not a playoff team, but they're way better than last year. I mean, you keep seeing names added, you keep seeing guys signing, and – it's definitely not going to be a walk in the park most nights for whoever's playing against them, like the way it was, you know, this past season.
Yeah.
You'd be betting on them a lot next season, whenever it is.
Another thing, too, I glanced over is Galchenyuk scored 30 in this league. I think he had 29 in Montreal 1 year. Like, I know, like,
so
it was one year.
He hasn't got 30. But I'm bumped.
All right, we can move on.
I'll back you up. It said the 94 World Series a little while ago, but that was the strike lockout canceled.
Stay hot, Whit.
I swear to God, I was like, something sounds off about 94. All I can think is the Rangers.
Yeah.
Combination of that.
Between that and Elias coming up, you're going to get – by the way, I just finally got his name right for the first time. I like the EP40. That's easy, off the glass and out. That's his new name to me.
Petey. All right, cool. Sabres also had a couple guys that avoided arbitration. Sam Reinhart, Buffalo, they agreed a one-year deal, $5.2 million. They also avoided arbitration with goalie Linus Ullmark. He re-upped for 1 year at $2.6 mil. Reinhardt, that's a pretty good price tag for him, 5.2.
I'll chime in on this one. I feel like they're like this. His last contract was his prove-it contract. I felt he proved it to a certain degree. There was that one incident about him giving up on a play earlier in the season that got amplified. So that seems to be fresh in people's minds as far as maybe that's why they didn't. I think it's new GM in there. We've come into this situation where Hall's over here. So like, I don't know, maybe him and Jack have this amazing chemistry where we use some of that money in order to keep him around. And also I think Reinhart's going to play on the second line, and not to say he's going to be playing with schlubs, but I think what they're seeing is, hey, can you drive your own line? Like, can you even take a step up from there? And then I think that warrants him probably getting what he might've been expecting to get this off season. But given with what's happened, I think 5.2 is a great number. I know that him and Eichel are great buddies. I think that if he's able to prove it again, I think they should keep him. I think he's a decent piece. He's a good room guy. I think there's some things to improve on, but once again, like, this team all around has not been very good. So it's not like that's a piece you might want to keep around, considering you haven't had many better pieces than him. Who's Ristolainen and Eichel? That's it. Those are the only two I could think of over a decent amount of time who have been consistent enough in that organization.
And he will be a restricted free agent again after this one-year deal. He's averaging just under 22 goals a year. So, obviously, another guy, he has a good year.
What did Toffoli get for his – he basically is like a
– four – what did he get, 4.5?
I'm thinking it more from an age standpoint, where Reinhart's still what? He's 24, 25 years old.
He's turning 25 soon. I think, man, he's going to get you 20 goals. He's going to get you 50 points. And then that's, if he makes that leap, all of a sudden maybe it's 30 and it's 65, 70 points. I like him as a player, and that team's struggle. You can't get rid of guys like that right now. I mean, if the Sabres ever got into the playoffs and they were a deeper team and a better team, and they got in and then they had Eichel playing center on the top line, and then Reinhart turned into a really even a better player, and he could be like David Krejci. I know that's crazy praise, and I know that he's got a long way to go, but, you know, I don't think he'll ever be a 90-point guy, but fuck, Krejci's had years where he had 70 points in the regular season, led the team in scoring in the playoffs. Like, this guy's really good, and he's young. I think that there's no way Buffalo could lose a guy like this at this point.
So then you got Halsey on the first line. Then you got Skinner on the team as well. So let's see also how he does with maybe a little less focus on him, given that there's not a ton of depth up front. So maybe he thrives. I hope he does. He's a great guy. In Biz Does BC, by the way. Did not pay him for that appearance, so I hope you get your meal money at some point.
All right, a few more signings to run through here. Just let me know if you want to chime in. Colorado signed restricted free agent Devon Taves, 4-year deal worth $16.4 million, $4.1 million cap hit. I mean, this is a kid who probably could have taken maybe shorter term and gambled on himself, but I think a birth, was it bird in the hand was worth two in the bush to him. Would you agree with that, Whit? In other words, like, he could have maybe taken a 2-year deal and see how he did and got more money down the line, but opted for the security of a 4-year deal.
And then he looked at McKinnon.
$16 million. Take care of that well. You should be good to live an happy life, I'll say, a fun life. Take that back. I don't really understand why the Islanders got rid of him. Maybe we'll learn more, but I like his game. I like how he skates. He looked awesome in the playoffs, and now he's making very fair number, I think, for both sides. If he's going to be the player he showed to be on the Islanders this year, he could even maybe argue he's a little underpaid in 4 years. We'll see what happens, but I like him.
There we go. All right, rolling right along here. Vancouver signed restricted free agent Jake Virtanen, 2-year deal, $5.1 million, comes out to $2.55 million cap hit. Let's see. Dallas signed restricted free agent Denis Gurianov. Of course, he really made a name for himself this past playoffs. 2-year deal, $5.1 million, comes out to just over $2.5 million as well. By the way, heads up to our friends over at TSN.com. Your free agent tracker does not have this deal listed, so you might want to jump on that and let people know, because some people do use that for work. It wasn't up there, just a little heads up. Carolina signed restricted free agent Hayden Flurry, 2-year deal, $2.6 million. It's a $1.3 million cap hit. Jersey signed unrestricted free agent Dmitry Kulikov to a 1-year deal worth $1.15 million. He was with Winnipeg last year. And Edmonton extended defenseman Chris Russell, 1 year, $1.25 million. That deal kicks in at the 21-22 season. So a lot of 1 and 2 year deals, but I know some of the fellas prefer 7 and 8 year deals because, well, most guys have tried different ways to last longer in bed, but thinking about awful decisions by baseball managers in the World Series doesn't always work. That's why the folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting, but don't require a prescription. That's the best part. And Roman can ship Swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each Swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. You just take the Swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. So go to GetRoman.com/chicklets. You can get your first month of Swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. Once again, that's GetRoman.com/chicklets.
Nice.
All right, Biz. You mentioned Arizona was in the news this week. First off, friend Elliot Friedman did say on the positive note, Shane Doan may be back with the Yotes in some capacity. I know, obviously, people were sad to see him go the first time, but new ownership, new sheriffs in town. So hopefully Doan will be back in the front office. Biz, have you had any scoop on that regard or what?
No, I haven't really reached out to I haven't reached anyone to talk about that. I think the other news that came out, I think the same day, I believe, right after Elliot Friedman had tweeted that out, something else came up. So just been kind of focusing on how I'm going to talk about that on the podcast, guys. It sucks. You want to get into it now, RA?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll jump right into it. Coyotes draft pick Mitchell Miller, who they took in the fourth round. They didn't have any picks in the first three rounds. He had some very ugly shit from his past that came to the surface this week. He's, I believe, 18 now, and he was 14 in the eighth grade. He pled guilty in juvenile court to assault of a developmentally disabled black kid. Apparently him and another student gave the kid a candy push pop that they had rubbed in a urinal. This Miller called them the vile N word repeatedly for years, among other racially racist stuff, I guess you'd say. And per the victim's mom, Joni Meyer Crothers, said he bashed the victim's head into a wall. She says she thinks he pled guilty in part to keep that video from going public, because it was kind of so awful to watch. Again, that was per the mother. She also said that Miller sent an apology letter to 31 teams, but never one to her son. She said her son has never heard from him, never got an apology from him. When the court things went on, the magistrate had some harsh words for Miller, basically thought he felt he was the victim in the whole thing. And look, you know, every draft teams need to make sure to similar decisions, not about these particular circumstances, but there's a lot of shit on guys that they hear about, they have to verify. But this is some tough stuff to read, man. It was really heinous stuff. And, you know, I did it to 14, wasn't always good, but you know, this wasn't stealing a disc or a tape at Sam Goody. This was some rough stuff, man. And I know people talk about second chances and stuff like that, but it's like, okay, you don't have to give this person a second chance. Is this juice worth the squeeze? You know, I don't know, man. It's behavior of such a level. It's like, all right, that's not something maybe 3 years later, it just goes away. If I'm a GM, I might have taken a pass as well. But with Biz, I'm not sure who wants to jump.
Well, I'm going
to
hop in because it, guys, like, it doesn't sound like at all that he was remorseful for it. Because anyone who was remorseful for this would have handled it a completely different way. And for the judge to say that to him, for the signs of the
what
family
did the judge say? Sorry, I apologize.
No, you're fine.
I just, what did the judge say to him at the
basically
at
the other kid who was a part of this was like crying in the courtroom and was completely devastated and clearly had understand deep down to the core that okay. what he did is what was a heinous crime.
Yep.
The judge didn't feel that from Miller at all. And for a judge to maybe go out of his way to say that during sentencing, I mean, they're usually judges for a reason. Like they know what the fuck they do, and they gotten to that level where people trust their overall opinion and assessment of all situations. So, Ari, I'll let you hop in and say it.
Yeah, from the magistrate, judge, whatever they call it. Mitchell, I'm not sure you still get it. I don't think you like being where you are, but I still don't think you've put yourself in the shoes of not just the one victim, but numerous victims. No one should come to school and feel humiliated or intimidated. If this is what you do in school, I wonder what you do outside of school. You're supposed to be in your best behavior in school. So if this is an example of your best behavior, I wonder what your worst behavior is. I don't have a sense of real remorse, but I do feel that you feel sorry for yourself. And, you know, that kind of aligns with the apology to the 31 teams and not the kid that he, you know, assaulted and victimized. And
but for, listen, from the Coyotes standpoint, and I can't speak for anyone inside the organization. I don't know who made the pick. I don't know why. I mean, I believe they released a statement saying that, partly also because they've been harping on the diversity thing, which is a good thing, right? With Xavier being hired as the president, and then to go out to do this, that's like, you know, it's very contrasting there. And people were calling them out on it, where the organization said, we felt that, like, considering this is something that we're looking so much into, that we would be the team that would be able to like clearly rehabilitate this person till where he's completely cleaned his image. And that is that person that did that, whatever that he did, no longer exists. Not even like a speck on the fucking radar. And to hear so many different examples as to maybe like he genuinely deep down to the core didn't understand what he did and why it was so wrong, not only the abuse side of it, just like the racist side of it. So I guess I'll leave it at this. If a 14-year-old person makes a mistake even as grave as this, do I believe that they should be canceled forever if they show remorse and understand what they did was wrong and to the core, and even maybe even go as far as to like go and talk in front of kids at school and understand that like why this is a problem, why this can't exist. I don't know. I'm not saying I think that would be a good way to start, like get ahead of it where you can kind of like pay your debt to society. And of course the kid he did it to in the family, of course, that's like numero uno. But then to go show them, this is how I've learned from it, and this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to use my horrible example as you know, this is why it's bad. Look at on the big what was supposed to be the biggest day of my life, getting drafted to the NHL. It's national news about what I did. Right?
Yeah, that was very well said, Biz.
That's an example in itself for every person listening to understand that there's consequences to your action, especially when the act gets is so grave as what this was. And this, I believe that it's fair that this kid is carrying this burden at 18 years old because of what he's done. And maybe in what we're hearing is the lack of remorse in what he actually did. So at that point in time, I'm thinking, no, I don't think he's truly learned from that horrible act and how it may have affected that other person. So it's just like, it was just hard to hear. And like, you know, it's a tough one on the chin for the organization. There's no denying that. If they felt that they talked to him and they truly believe that he is no longer that person, and that was their judgment at the time, then hey, you gotta.
Yeah, I would trust them if it were true though that he'd like apologize to that kid. I mean, if that's true with the mother,
I don't know.
He's never even like said anything to him in person or in a letter. It was horrible to read. I mean, listen, man, if this kid doesn't feel bad for what he's done and actually like truly, truly understand like how mean and cruel what he did was, then he probably doesn't deserve a second chance. Biz, you said it best. If he can go out and prove that he's a different human being, then I think everyone deserves a second chance.
Basically, I'll sum it up by saying this. I'm not going to argue with you if you think that he should never have the right to play in the NHL, given with where things sit as were presented in the media. But I'm not going to argue with you if you think that this kid deserves a second chance to show that he's not that person. Like, I just like,
well, you already said you could be the one to not give him the second chance, but if you're going to hate every single person that would, that's kind of where you got to maybe think, all right, well, I disagree with that person on giving him a shot. But
so
hopefully though, if anything, this, not that the kid even wants to hear it now, but he should get in touch with that guy and apologize.
And like, just relating to like me talking about it, like, I work for the Coyotes, and like, there's unbelievable people that work for the organization. And it just seems to have felt that like, there's been a lot of not so positive things happening. Like, yeah, I'm not going to cast any judgment on the inside other than the fact that I hope you're right on this one, because this seems, I hope this is not as being portrayed in the media or as intense, because I don't think that necessarily is a great representation at this time. Just at this time.
Yeah. And like, as far as a second chance, you know, no team is obligated to give him or any other kid a chance if he did something.
We beat the drum. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. And I think we should also note, we just had GM Bill Armstrong, on. He had absolutely nothing to do with this pick. Of course, the news broke since that episode, but you know, he was still with the Blues. He had nothing to do with the draft. He wasn't able to deal with the draft. So I figured that's worth noting, because he was a recent guest. And yeah, Miller did his counseling, his community service, but you know, the jury's still out on actual remorse, I guess. So we can move right along here, chugging along. Actually, you know what, boys? I think it's probably a good time to send it over to Elias Pettersson, get a little levity in here. And we do want to let you know that this interview is brought to you by Cross Country Mortgage, America's crazy good mortgage company, who make it easy to get the financing you need fast. Go to ccmlens.com/NBD to learn more about your future home buying or refinancing experience. NMLS 3029, Equal Housing Opportunity. Well, our next guest is one of the bright young stars in the NHL. He's won Rookie of the Year at both the Swedish Hockey League and the National Hockey League. While a rookie in Sweden, he also led the league in points in both the regular season and playoffs before winning the MVP of the playoffs as his team won the championship. And in his first two NHL seasons, he's tallied 132 points in 139 games and has been named to two All-Star games. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast, Elias Pettersson, a.k.a. Petey. How are we doing, pal?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So this is your very first podcast appearance, huh?
Yeah, it's my first podcast. I don't know. Yeah, it's my first one.
How about those intros? Those are nice, eh? A little tire pump?
I don't mind people pumping tires, but
dude, he pressed record on his phone, man.
Must have given him for the first try, so yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Hey, so you're just are you just a music guy on the way to the rink, things like that? You never listen to any podcasts, or are you just saying you never been on one?
I'm a big music guy. I listen to a lot of music. I'm not a country guy, and plays a lot of country in the locker room, but yeah, no.
Besser's going to be pissed that you said no country now.
Yeah, me and him been having a debate about that. He's not happy about me.
Are you a metalhead?
Oh, sorry. Which is okay, because he says you belong in the circus. Now, yeah. Not for any rude reasons, but he says you can juggle very well and you could ride a unicycle. Can you do both at the same time, though?
Yeah, I can.
Holy shit, this kid's the real deal. Give him the MVP.
What is the beginning of you riding a unicycle and being able to juggle as well as doing it together? Like, yes. How did that all start? How old are you when that goes down?
Yeah. How old was I?
Out of the womb.
Yeah, 2 years old. No, but maybe 12, 13. My dad was very good at going in unicycle, and I was listening to him a lot. I still do. He told me, if you get good at unicycle, you're going to have better balance at hockey. And I was like, all right. Worked on it, got good at it. And then, I don't know why, but I just start juggling. So one day I had three tennis balls. I spent like 3-4 days at our backyard back home in Ånge, where I'm from. And I spent 3-4 hours until I could do it. And then once I get good at it, I started doing with bowling pins. Yeah, I mean,
you're gonna be like the red panda at the Rogers Center between periods. They're gonna have to pay you $20 million a year.
All right, I'm up for it.
That would be unbelievable. The first ever player in NHL history to do the in-between period entertainment.
So got good at with bowling pins, and then I added both together. And my brother always chirped me about it, that I could join a circus whenever. So I'm set.
So you mentioned your dad, and he drove a Zamboni when you were a kid. So you basically just skated every single day as much as you wanted as a kid, hey?
Yeah, I've been skating a lot. I come from a small town or village. I don't know how you say it. It's 3,000 people lives there, so it's not big at all. Dad has drove the Zamboni, had the key to every door at the rink, and basically all my childhood, it was school. Dad dropped me off at the rink, got home, had dinner, then back to the rink for practice and bedtime, and then same thing all over again. So
that's in the winter. Are you summers off, or are you skating the whole time?
Summers, it was soccer growing up.
Yeah.
But as soon as the ice got back home, I was there right away. But I played soccer and hockey growing up.
So do you follow all the drama in the British Premier League and all these high-end soccer leagues?
Yeah, I do. I'm a big fan of soccer, and I watch it a lot. I don't follow it a lot nowadays because time difference and everything, and I don't have a favorite team, so I'm just a fan of the sport, fan of anything.
Well, you're your typical Swede that speaks perfect English, and I know you guys take it growing up. Was it a little difficult for you 2 years ago, your rookie year? Have you pretty much been completely easy speaking English for a while now?
I was okay in English at school. I mean, I did like high school. My only mindset was I'm gonna do everything to pass the test because I wanna play hockey, and
that's what the reporters need.
Yeah, exactly. Don't listen, kids.
Yeah, same here, but I never passed.
Or got asked to be interviewed.
So I think actually Brock Besser can tell you guys a story whenever you guys get that opportunity, because my first development camp, I was not good at English at all. And he has a pretty funny story when he's basically telling me that I kind of like shrug him off and didn't want to talk to him because I was nervous talking about it, because I wasn't comfortable talking English yet. So, but I've learned it quickly, moving here, hearing English every day. So,
Petey, when you were a younger kid, were there any Swedes that you modeled your game after? I mean, you could score and pass equally good. I mean, I would say Peter Forsberg. I know he had probably a little more grit to his game, but who did you model yourself after?
First one was Peter Forsberg. Just remember his old days back in Modo where Ryan played for two games.
It was a very successful two games. I don't know if you've seen the stats.
I actually had the privilege to see your last game in your career.
Wow.
Oh, my That's God. Crazy. That was the – so you saw the last period. You were at that game.
Yeah, you remember the game?
I do. I remember
everything. Let me guess.
About...
Two pizzas, -3, absolute liability in his own end. But he did have a second period. Assist on the power play, no, so he was thrilled.
He was -3, that's for sure. No offense,
I was -3 in the first period, and one of them, I went to turn, and my ankle completely gave out, and I hit the side of the skate, and I fell, and the guy grabbed it and threw it in front. It was like at the whole first home game of the season. I'm an import. We lost the night before. We got waxed the night before on the road, and I'm horrific. And I went into and I retired after that period, the first period. And then I sat on the bench for the second and third. So we watched the game together. My last pro game, I just got to play 8 of 20 minutes, be -3, and throw a pizza
against the worst team in the league.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
It was not exactly a great performance for the old wit dog in this SHL.
I might have asked my brother for a little background check because.
Yeah, okay, so you were doing some prep work for this podcast.
Where was your brother playing then? Is he in Växjö now?
Yeah, he's in Växjö now. The team I played for before Vancouver.
Well, actually, before that, I want to ask you, you played for Timra for a year because my best friend, Matt Murley, played for Timra for a while.
Yeah.
And he lives in Sunseval. He loved it. He married a girl from there. And he told me that it was so big when he was playing there to try to get up to the SHL, right? Like your division two. And so I saw that you played the 1 year, you lit it up, and you guys weren't able to advance into the big league. Say you had, and instead you went to Vaxor, signed. Say you had gotten Timra in, would you have stayed with them that year? Or were you moving on no matter what?
That was a talk I had like all the time, like during the season with my agent, with friends, with family, my brother. I'm pretty sure I would have stayed because Timra is close to home. It's where I played there for 5 years.
And you would have gotten them there. It would have been like that much more special, I would guess.
Yeah, exactly. And no, things didn't go the way I wanted. I'm happy with my year in Växjö, but it would be cool to bring Timur up and play 1 year in SHL there.
RA kind of talked about it earlier as far as like who you looked up to growing up. Making the transition, knowing you had as much success over there, were you nervous about coming over to North America to play? And was there any of these older veterans from Sweden who you reached out to in order to talk to before you did so? I mean, given the instant success you had.
I was nervous. I didn't know how, I mean, NHL is the best league in the world, and I didn't know how well I would do. And of course, I'm small and skinny, all that. So I didn't know how well I would perform, but we had four Swedish guys in the team, and they helped me get comfortable and everything, especially Markström. He took me under his wing right away, and very grateful for that. But first NHL game against Flames, and my first shift lasted 10 seconds because RD absolutely destroyed one of the Flames guys, and my next shift, it was a fight. So I was like, all right, this is the NHL.
Oh, my God, sick league.
It's exactly the way they talked about it over there.
Yeah. So, I was like, I can live like this.
Were you more scared of coming over here and experiencing it for the first time or fighting Quinn Hughes at rookie party this year in the lobby of a hotel?
He wouldn't say yes to a fight.
weren't you guys wrestling in the lobby at rookie party at the hotel?
Oh, rumors goes fast, eh?
Uh-oh. And who tapped who out?
I mean, we're having a good time. Both of us might have been a little oozy.
A little tipsy. That's okay. That happens. It was on your credit card.
It was. Yeah, it was a great night. I think we just wrestled. I don't think we had a winner. I think our teammates broke us loose. And
there you go.
And...
You guys got a funny relationship. I heard a story too that he was driving up a hill and it was icy out, and then he like pretended to start slipping, but then the car actually did start slipping down the hill, did it not?
Yeah. So it was snowing a lot in Vancouver, and I don't know how slow the workers, like, say if it's snowing, the snow stays on the road for like 2-3 days before they get rid of it. So
RA people collecting a pension, doing nothing.
Yeah.
Doing podcasts in the closet.
Yeah, no. So we were going out for dinner, and I walked because I was driving a sports car, and that does not work well in the snow. So I walked, but Quinn, he took his Toyota. Tough car.
Oh, suck it, Quinner.
I had to get a chirp in on him. But so we were going up a hill, and I was already like freaking out because I was afraid we were going to slip and, I don't know, hit someone. And he sensed that. So we were going up, and then he like screamed, "Oh my God, a car, what?" I looked around, there's no one there. And then he just starts laughing at me. So he got me well.
Boy who cried wolf. I know you had a Vancouver shirt when you were a little boy, as everybody knows. You told the reporter to Google it. But what did you know about Vancouver before you got there? Anything?
Of course, Sedin's. Just still here about the Sedin's. So good hockey players there are, but especially how good people they are outside of hockey, doing work with the community and all that. And Vancouver, big hockey city. And I mean, hockey in Canada, and I think hockey is the biggest sport here in Vancouver. So it's a blast playing here.
So take me back, like the draft. It's in Chicago, I think. Did you know you were going fifth? Did you have any chances of going higher? Like, how did that whole day go? And then after, was there a special night in Chi-Town once you get to go top five, fifth overall? I went the same. Nice meeting you.
Quick plug for himself. That's, we have to hear about that every episode.
Well, I just try to get every fifth overall pick ever so we can interview them all, and I can bring it up every time. But
you were serious now.
Yes, he was dead serious.
Yeah, the game you saw, bud, that was not at the prime. That was pathetic. I agree.
Oh, that's funny. The draft. After the combine, both Toronto and Vancouver flew me out to kind of meet me more and do testing, blah, blah, blah. So Vancouver was the team that showed the most interest in me. When they were doing the draft, Vancouver didn't talk to me, so I still wasn't sure if they were going to pick me. So, but then my agent said, usually before a draft, the camera guys comes and stands in front of you before a pick is called up. And when Vancouver was up, the camera guys was in front of me, so I knew they were going to pick me then. But yeah, it was still a little nerves and all that. So
how old were you when you knew you were much better than the other kids you were playing with, like when you realized, holy shit, I'm pretty good here?
Actually very young, because very young.
Unicycle was the tipping point. I'm better than everyone.
I want to talk about how you got so into fashion. You're like, I see you posting all the time. I mean, I don't know if it was at the All-Star game when you wore that James Bond villain outfit.
Yeah. Fun thing. If people zoom in on that pic, it's not stripes, it's letters.
And what does it say?
Givenchy.
Oh, Givenchy. Ooh. Okay. So that's like, you love that high-end designer.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been into fashion, and now I've been making a lot of money. I've been, I don't know, taking care of myself a little bit.
And, good for you.
Me too. Yeah. Treat yourself.
Swedes are always pretty sharp-dressed players in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, there's some tough outfits in the team, especially.
Petey, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, you're a dual threat out there. People don't know if you're going to pass, shoot, or whatever. What do you like better, scoring a goal or setting a guy up for one?
Scoring goals.
Full-fledged. You did a little bit of that in playoffs, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about too. Like, maybe there, you know, that was your first experience. Obviously the physicality of it goes up, and then you end up playing Minnesota and then St. Louis. I felt that points in both series they were trying to get you off your game physically, but you ended up playing a point a game. Like, you know, what were you thinking going to playoffs the first time, and ultimately how do you think you handled it overall?
First playoff, I knew, like, all intensity gets up and physicality. So my mindset was to play hard and not shy away from anything. And I'm very happy with how well we performed in the playoff. One game away from making the conference final. I think I handled it well. I think we did well as a team. There was, of course, a lot of cross-checkings on me and all that, but I'm used to it, so,
Yeah, taking the beating is part of being one of the best. I think that you've definitely had to experience that, but you talk about the playoffs and it was being successful, but you also bring up Markstrom, and I get the chance to play with Marky in the minors and in Florida a little bit. Unreal guys, very happy to see his deal, but must have been tough to see him go. Kind of, what did he mean to you, just taking you under his wing when you came over?
I mean, that was tough for me. I haven't experienced like the business side of NHL. So, and Markstrom was, of course, a friend for life for me, but he's been taking care of me, like show, like telling me like small stuff to think about, not to wear some, not to wear like a crazy hoodie on like when we're going on the road, because
oh my god, this is I was with Marky when people were telling him these things. It's called come full circle. It really did register with him.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, he's so yeah, I listened to him, and I'm trying to tell these things to Quinn, but he's just telling me to shut up. So
you guys are too close in age. He's probably like, yeah, beat it.
It's fun. No, but yeah, it was tough seeing Marky leave, but it's business, and I'm very happy with the contract he got because he deserves it.
Where would he be bringing you out around Vancouver? I'm sure that was, you know, if you said he put you under his wing, was Roxy a frequent spot? What's the, are the young guys even What's going that? There anymore? Is that even a thing?
Roxy, yeah. As a, I actually saw you there, Biz, one night.
That's right. I think we did run into each other at the back bar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so.
I was like, yeah, could you put my drinks on that little guy over there in the corner's tab right there? Yeah, that guy with the guy with the toucan. Thank
you. Yeah, make him chug it. Make him chug it, yeah. Yeah, no. I don't know. We've been going out to Jailtown a lot. It's not trying to say where we go too much, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't want to drop a dime on yourself.
But yeah, no, Jailtown. But yeah, Roxy, it's I've been there, I think, three times. And
three for three.
Fun, weird place, I would say.
Just getting hounded there. Are you skating right now? Or are you just like working out? How are you approaching whenever next season begins?
I'm working out now. I'm skating once or twice per week. Have my trainer back home. Robert Lidbeck, he sends me schedule and I follow them, and we're talking every day about the workout that I'm gonna do for the day. So working out at the rink Monday to Friday and Saturday Sunday off.
I was gonna hop in about the training. You see a lot of these high-end players doing a lot of skill work in the off season, as far as hopping in the ice, and all of a sudden they're doing all these movements in and out of cones. Are you doing that on the ice as well as getting in the gym every single day?
I'm doing more like off ice stuff, more strength stuff, because that's what I need the most. But I'm skating once or twice a week to still keep that going. But I'm spending more time in gym than on the ice during the summers.
Just getting swole for the off season.
Yeah,
you know, maybe take an all inclusive down south, get the veins popping.
Trying. I mean, people don't think I work out, but I've been working out my whole life, but I just don't show.
I used to hear the same thing. Don't worry, these fifth overall picks, they come gunning after our bodies. Just prove it on the ice.
Body shaming.
Yeah, I think Wayne Gretzky weighed 170 pounds, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. Now, I'm not sure about the Canadian rules. Are you allowed to go back to Sweden if you wanted to, or are you stuck in Canada? What's the situation with that?
Yeah, I could go back today or tomorrow, but when I come back for next season, whenever that starts, I have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and I don't want to quarantine again. So
just stay in Vancouver.
Yeah. So, and also it was like, would be like bad timing for me to go home, because all my hockey friends were starting their season and all my non-hockey friends are either working or studying. So I would have no one on my schedule. So that was like why I stayed here.
I want to go back to the music for a second. I know there's a lot of metalheads from Finland, but what kind of music are you into? Are you a metalhead too? I know, I know you're from Sweden, but I know that area, like the world likes metal for some reason.
No, I'm not a metalhead. not a country.
You scream BPM guy from Sirius Satellite Radio. You know what BPM is?
No.
Okay. Kygo, how would you?
Beats per minute?
Calvin Harris. Those guys are a little bit more mainstream. I like the deep house shit.
I like deep house. I like chill music, hip hop. Yeah, like songs like Drake, hip hop. So I like to listen to a lot of music. I like to listen to like slow music too. Like
you like that R&B?
No. I would say like
put a couple candles on.
Was that a note? Did you just sing a note for us?
No. Oh, maybe.
That was actually really. It did sound like a song there. You got a great humming voice.
I'm a terrible singer. I'm not going to perform for you guys.
No, come on. Try for all the Vancouver fans listening would love to hear you sing right
even
now.
Even if I'm a little tipsy, I'm still shy to sing, so not going to happen. But yeah, no.
As long as it's no like Kenny Chesney, she's from Boston,
it would be like Ed Sheeran, Lumineers, Louis Capaldi, like those type of music.
No. I got worked over by my wife. She said, "Well, that's not in a good way. Not in a good way." She brought me to a concert. We're going to this concert, Ed Sheeran. I was like, "What?" He was unreal. Yeah. It was by himself on stage for 2.5 hours. He was rapping. He was singing. Oh. I've been a huge fan since.
Yeah.
And she worked me over after the concert too.
Thanks. That's something I want to do too. Go to concert like that. Never been to. I've only been to like concerts where in different like EDM, like plays, but never been to like a Ed Sheeran or Coldplay concerts.
So you bring up, you know, right now, if you were back home, your buddies who are working, they got to work all day. And like, I would go through that when I was playing home for the summers. Right. But what are you doing with your time? Like during the season, practice ends, you got nothing going on. Are you gaming? Are you just hanging out? Like, well, how do you spend your free time during the year? At least?
Yeah. I play golf, big golfer, play video games, Call of Duty, Fortnite. Not so much Fortnite anymore. NHL, FIFA, NBA. So I play a lot of video games. So
from what I've been seeing on your Instagram too, is like, I think you're more interested maybe on the content side of things, opening up that, you know, I don't want to call it a revenue stream, but I mean like a guy like OBJ did it in football. Are there other guys who are doing it where you kind of like the way they're going? I know Austin Matthews is a big guy about posting what outfits he's wearing, tagging the price tag, and also getting on video more.
Yeah, I mean, I want to start streaming. I want to try build my brand and be more out there and show personality, because I think it's definitely hard to show like outfits, your fashion, because we have to wear suits to all the games, and NBA and football, they can wear whatever. So that's why I've been trying post a little bit more like fashion post on Instagram lately, and still have more to come. Just trying to be a fun guy for people to follow, and I'm having a good time doing it too.
You did that video. The kid did the little dribble demonstration, and then you went out, bought a basketball, and did a pretty good imitation of him after. Yeah, that type of stuff you like?
Yeah. So people were tagging me in it. So I saw the video, and it was this Twitter account telling me to Elias Pettersson, can you please do this? So I was like, well, let's do it. So I went to Canadian Tire, bought a basketball, and just did it. Took 60 seconds, and people loved it. So, and just a quick thing like that, just I'm having such a good time with it, and people enjoyed it too. So
goes a long way, and the fans love it. I was going to ask you, just from living in Vancouver, is there anything else, you know, outside of playing hockey, like you go out and do, whether it's right around the seawall?
I go scootering a lot. The founder of Spin, he's a Canucks fan, so he saw me and Quinn driving a Spin scooter in Tampa Bay. So he's like, yo, this made my day, let me send you guys some scooters. All right, send us some. And he sent us four to me, Quinn, Brock, and Tanev, and we've been ripping him ever since. So fun.
When's the last time you rode a unicycle?
That was a while ago.
Morning while I was doing abs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a part of the workout routine. Put a clown costume on. Go a little. No, it's been months since last time, actually.
You won a gold medal, world champion you can call yourself a world champion forever. Was that in Denmark, 2018? Like, take us through that tournament. What was your role on the team? How did that all go down?
That was a fun tournament. I mean, I didn't play. I broke my thumb that tournament. So basically,
that sucks.
Yeah. But
he's like, actually, I didn't get a gold medal with. Thanks for bringing it up.
Holy shit. Denmark. Yeah, that was fun. That was like my first opportunity to be around NHL players. And it was a good experience for me to see like how they preparing for games, like how they are just normal people having fun playing hockey. And I mean, I was starstruck with some of the players because I've been watching them growing up. And now I'm here playing for the country with them. So I was having a blast. And then against Swiss, I got a breakaway. And I hit the post and broke my thumb. So I missed the rest of the tournament. But just the games I played and still be with the team during the whole tournament was a memory I'll never forget.
Yeah, I want to talk about your coach for a sec. Travis Green, he's been your coach for the 2 years you've been in the league. Guy seems to really like playing for him. He's a former player himself. Does he just let you run wild out there? Does he have you on any kind of leash? What does he tell you?
On the ice or off the ice? What do you mean?
He used to run pretty hard himself, so he can't say shit about the off ice.
You ain't fooling me, Travis.
I think he's still running pretty hard.
That's great.
Travis is good. I like him. He lets me play my game. And I mean, he's always giving me like small tips, what to think about. So me and him have a good, connection, but a good
rapport.
Relationship.
Yeah, relationship.
Rapport is a good one, Biz. Great job there.
Yeah, I struggle with the words. You might have better English than me.
See, you're I would have thought of connection first, too, but then I'd have been like, it's a little romantic. Yeah, and then I would have done the same thing you just
put
did.
Put the R&B music on, light the candles. Let's get it going. Okay. Let's get it popping.
Don't get that wrong.
Grinelli, this is one of the young studs in the league. You probably, you're jarring into the social media and all the craziness. What, you have a question for him?
You did a video with the On the Bench guys. How'd that go? You played some goalie there, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was so fun, actually. Yeah, I like being a goalie. I told earlier that I played soccer, but growing up, I played soccer the whole time. I played soccer goalie, sorry. We had a goal in our backyard back home, and of course, my brother is older than me, so young guy goes in the net. So that's where I got the interest of playing a goalie. And then when I start playing in net in hockey, and I just like it.
Your brother must have, been a huge influence for you. He still plays over there. We mentioned that. Like, growing up, was he giving you beatings, or were you just always doing everything together? What was the relationship like?
We've been having a lot of battles in, I don't know how many fights we've had or how many times our parents broke us loose from. I think it was one time I swinged a floorball stick over his neck or something. And then next time, we were going hard on each other. So both of us hates to lose. And whenever the other guy won, the other guy got rattled. So
you made a joke about listening to your father once in a while earlier on. I'd imagine that you guys are very close and he's a big reason for a lot of your success.
Yeah. My family means everything to me. Like, they've been my support from day one and are still my support. And the way I am today with like two people is because of them. So they've been an influence to me this whole time. And I wouldn't be here without them. So.
Peter, you and Brock Besser, you have some nice chemistry together. We see a lot of kind of dynamic duos throughout the league. Some guys just click with for no reason. You just get out there and kind of share the same mentality.
Yeah. We think hockey, pretty similar. He likes to shoot more than pass, but he's a good shooter, so I understand he shoots a lot, but heads up, bud.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, we're good friends off the ice, and that just transforms to have good chemistry on the ice. We're hanging out almost every day during the season. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Do you think he's got better hair than you, or do you think he got better hair? Ooh. Or do you guys compete, share product advice?
I don't know if he uses. He uses some products.
Competed Roxy's.
He has the better hair. I gotta admit that.
Yeah, he's got some of the best hair in the league.
You brought up golf, so I gotta get in there. Like, when did you start playing? What's the handicap? Like, what's this? What's the golf background?
Handicap now is 4.2.
Oh, so we can play, boys.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's hand eye. I mean, if you can juggle on a unicycle, you're hand eye guy.
Okay, so I'm lefty on hockey, but I play golf right.
Same
here.
But
maybe I'm a lefty. Maybe that's why I'm so.
Are you putting? Are you putting lefty now?
No, I'm putting righty. But say if I play baseball, I play lefty.
Same here. We're the same so far. So if I throw a football, I throw it righty. If I throw a baseball, I throw it lefty.
Yeah, vice versa. I write with my right and throw with my left. So
yeah, it's all. I think we're ambidextrous, but obviously it's the fifth overall pick thing. I guess it just, you know. Sorry, Biz.
Biz, I think every time Whit mentions fifth overall, the Quebec Pee Wee term, we need to have Petey pop up to tell that moto story just to remind him.
bring him back down a little. I love that. Hey, is there any sports you're not good at? Well, obviously basketball because I watched you dribble, but anything other than that?
I mean, I'm not that good of a dribbler at basketball. I can shoot the ball all right, but I'm not a good dribble. That move that dribble move that I did is pretty easy, but I'm not like a good dribbler.
What about tennis guy? Like, I feel like a lot of the Finns I know are into tennis. Is that the same in Sweden?
I love playing tennis. My grandpa had he has a court on his yard. So every time we visited there, we always play. So I've been a tennis guy my whole life.
Who's your favorite player to watch?
Federer, the GOAT, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what I was going to ask the next RA. I was going to ask, like, who are, like, your favorite celebrities? If you could meet a couple people, like, who would it be?
I'd say that's a hard one. That's a lot.
Really? I thought for sure you would have a few of them that you were going to bang off.
Yes. Okay, so Steph Curry. Steph Curry, LeBron James, King James. What?
What's the other one? Is it another NBAer?
No, those two.
Whit doesn't like how they dive so much, so he definitely wouldn't like soccer. He thinks
I like soccer. Soccer is diving. I'm just not a big NBA guy. But I mean, obviously, you know what those guys do, the freak athletes.
So if you could change one rule in the NHL, it would be the fact that you're able to walk into the rink in whatever outfit you want to wear besides a suit.
Yeah, I would like to dress the way I want.
Okay. When we get Bettman on, I'll tell him. I'll tell him that you're asking for it.
Yeah.
Have his shoes.
Did Vancouver make a team rule when you guys were in the bubble? They said players can dress how they want, but I know some teams made guys wear certain things. What did Vancouver make you guys wear?
Yeah, so we didn't hear about, like, if we're going to have an outfit. So I was, like, getting, like, kind of excited to wear whatever I want. But 3-4 days before we left to Edmonton, we get slack pants. We got a blue golf shirt and Adidas NMD shoes. And
you were loving it.
Yeah.
You were loving the khaki look.
Yeah. I mean, I brought some outfits if we were going to change for one game, but no.
Well, so that's all I got. But you got one, RA?
I was going to ask him what he does to kill time. Are you a big movie, TV guy? Watch a lot of Netflix, Prime, that type of stuff? You avoid that?
I kill a lot of time playing PS4 and Xbox. I have both because all the guys in the team play Xbox and all my friends back home play PS4. So
that's a ball move.
So watch Netflix, TV, just chill, go on scooters, go shopping, go shopping a little here and there.
Hey, you're living your best life, man. You deserve it. We want to thank you very much. I think you bring up the gaming. Hopefully we see you streaming with Grinnelli at some point. I think that'd be a killer combo. Maybe at least even help your following grow more.
Yes, did you get sick of everybody butchering your name? Or you?
Your name was a disaster for the first year and a half.
Yeah, I know. I mean, people still here in North America still can't pronounce the Swedish way or say the Swedish way. So, and the Swedish way is Elias Pettersson.
That's what I tried to do at the beginning. I don't know how good.
Yeah.
There's another version?
That was like a mixture, I think, of the both.
Yeah, Elias Pettersson. But no, I like it Elias Pettersson.
Okay. All right, well, buddy, it's great to finally chat with you. What a first few years you've had in this league, and we appreciate you coming on.
Well, we want to say thanks so much to our new friend Petey for jumping on to chat with us, man. Like I said, colorful character. I love the Swedes. I love the Euros. We got to get more of these guys on, Biz.
I'm going to send him a clip, a YouTube of one of my goals, so he'll like believe I was in the NHL after what he saw.
Well, Lundqvist, when he went on Lundqvist, glove upstairs, that'd be the one to send him. Wasn't that your first ever goal?
Yeah, first. It wasn't like shelf. It was more middle than that. And I might have been beneath his glove. I might have beat him.
Wall.
What are the odds that when he ever dropped that he was at
he was at that game in Ormskoldsvik. When I'm just out there legit Bambiing it around. I look like Happy Gilmore at tryouts.
Oh, that was some classic stuff. Huh?
How about when I ran into him at the Roxy? I completely forgot about that. And I knew I went up and shook his hand. I'm like, this guy's a cool dude. He's kind of like, he had the high fashion. He was feeling himself. I'm like, fucking right. This guy's a stud. So big thanks to him for coming on. I always try to grow his whole social brand and get more in touch with his audience. So check him out, following him on his Instagram, Twitter, and you'll see some really funny stuff from a very interesting character in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I was certainly happy to help him out as well. All right, a couple more news items here. No surprise, but the Winter Classic and All-Star Game have been postponed. These are obviously two road trips we always look forward to. A little bit of yin and yang this year. It would have been Minnesota and Florida. I was really looking forward to the All-Star Game in South Florida, and I definitely know the Wit Dog was to hit up some courses down there, man. They got some beauties.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't be able to get a sandbagger in with Pettersson at one of those tracks down there. I actually rented a house in Jupiter for February. I'm going to be golfing. I am so fired up. Let me know if you have a sick track you want to play with me in Jupiter. But I really want to talk about Peter Millar and the Fuse vest, because this thing is so sick, Biz. It's the perfect vest because you know what? It lets you move in it. You get optimal mobility. That's what's nice. And also it's wind resistant. So if you're talking about tough weather, if maybe you're going over on a trip to Scotland or Bannon Dunes, you know, there's going to be wind, but you want to have your arms not too hot. You want to have your arms free. Chuck the fuse vest on. And I just want everyone to know that the exterior being wind resistant is nice, but it's finished with a two-way zip in front, so it won't get in the way of your view while you're putting. And that's the real game changer in all this. So go to petermillar.com/chicklets. Use code chicklets at the checkout for a complimentary performance hat. It's nice shit they got. So check it out. The vest is where it's at. And please go now. PeterMillar.com/chicklets. Use the code chicklets. Thank you for listening.
What were they going to give you extra? What was the extra gift?
Complimentary hat, a performance hat.
Ooh. Hey, I was going to say they should do the glove because you got to be putting with the glove on, folks. I know you guys saw my birdie in the sandbagger. Hey, all these guys were chirping me. We're bringing it back. Everything comes back around. Bell bottoms. RA can speak to that. He's been wearing them every 10 Halloweens. They always come back around. Okay, so make sure you get your Peter Millar. Maybe they'll start throwing in the nice fancy glove, the putting glove.
Jupiter, huh? What was Mars booked from the Chicklets bump I gave it the last month?
Neptune was out of reach. Saturn was sold out. Yeah, I'm with you here.
And Biz's Uranus is all ran out from this hoop getting ruined during this playoff predictions.
Oh, my goodness.
By Barry.
I got bent over. Like, we have to give some pick. I just got, like, every one I was an L.
What was your final record?
I'd have had two series. I might have got two.
Dude, between that and the Warthog fucking stuff, it's been like memes has enough to fucking save him for the next year.
He's been destroying us.
Speaking of, I got to tell you this story. My mother-in-law gave me this gift. Can you guys make that out? Can you guys see it? I don't know. It
looks like a beer mug.
Hogwarts mug. Yeah.
Right. So I see it and I was like, oh, Hogwarts, Harry Potter. Like, and she's like, oh, from the show. And I'm like, we have so many fucking jokes over the years. Like some of them go over my head. I'm thinking, when did we make a Harry Potter joke? I'm like, I can't. And she's like, and then she does the tusks. I was like, oh, I'm like, you mean the water?
You didn't put the Hogwarts together?
No, well, because I know that was Harry Potter. So I got on that fucking tunnel vision with Harry
Potter. We both smoke a lot of weed. That might have gone over my head. I would have been like, I don't watch Harry Potter. The fuck are you talking about? Which podcast are you listening to?
That's what
are
I
you
like,
cheating on me?
I was baffled. I'm like, we
from his mom.
Water. And I was, yeah. She did the tusks. He started dying laughing. I was like, oh, the warthog.
Oh, you got a free mug, though.
Get a free mug, absolutely, man.
You know what you should be putting in that mug? Well, I'm going to save it for later. But that too. But I have a Budweiser ad coming up, and I tell you what, if I was segueing,
you practiced it.
I haven't. RA just sent it, but he's talking about a mug, and I was going to say, speaking of mugs, you know what we should be pouring into it? Mm-hmm. A nice cold Budweiser, and then I would have did some sexy ad. But let's not do it right now. I'm going to save
it. All right, let's not. Speaking of sexy.
Teasing the people with an ad. That's fucking brilliant
right
there.
You want some electricity? You never know. I could be stumbling out of the gates. It might take me 45 fucking minutes, or I might nail it. So I'll be pulling
up.
We
try to tease big interviews and funny stories, business teasing ads.
Pressure's on.
We've been talking about new uniforms and third jerseys and fourth jerseys and reverse retros. Well, the Dallas Stars. Fucking drop the new
Dallas Stars.
Drop the new
one was
neon
extra obnoxious.
you know Dallas. I don't know what building it is in Dallas that it's got that neon green. It's basically the skyline defining building in Dallas. Well, they dropped their new jersey that took that neon green. I like it, man. And what did you think of it, Biz? Is it obnoxious?
Somebody put it next to the Monster Energy drink jersey, and it looked identical. Listen, I think they're funky. Like. I mean, for a couple nights, I don't know how many times of the year they're going to wear those.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they determine that. Who the fuck knows when they're going to play? But
well, like I think like for like 6 nights of the year, maybe on a condensed schedule. But like I like their jerseys now. I mean these ones where you mix in every now and then. But I don't know. I'm not like over the moon about it. I think okay.
Kids will like it. They'll probably sell a shitload of them. That's
well,
the
there you go.
Goal.
Yeah, that's the market.
That's all, of course. That's the name of the game. Get that HRR up. But
rappers are going to be wearing that jersey for sure.
Hundo P.
Someone tweeted the pitch Ryan Reynolds from Green Lantern when he made that awful movie a few years ago. And Anthony Stewart tweeted out Mr. Burns from The Simpsons when he was glowing green. That basically became a little bit of a Twitter meme, but people seem to like it either way. But all right, moving right along per our friend Elliot Friedman, he reported today the AHL is going to start on February 5th, and the AHL did confirm the news later with their press release. Their Board of Governors approved that date. It's still tentative, I guess, but that's the date circled right now. And our other friend Jeff Marek said the OHL's general managers meeting had concluded, and he had some details. This season is going to start February 4th. Training camps can start January 23rd. European American players arrive January 8th. Then they quarantine. It's going to be a 40-game season. Four teams from each conference will make the playoffs, so eight teams total. Jeff also said there was no discussion about that contact issue. Remember, whatever some politicians said they were going to play, but there wouldn't be any contact, which made no fucking sense. Jeff said teams assume that's not going to happen. Thank Christ. And then there was no discussion about fans during the meeting, but that's not really a surprise. The OHL season would conclude May 16th. And a reminder that the Memorial Cup has already been pushed back and will run June 17th through the 27th. So, I don't know, a couple of leagues planning on starting. Obviously, we'll see what happens in the interim. A couple of retirements to announce as well. Trevor Daley retired after 16 NHL seasons, and he went to work for the Penguins. He, of course, won 2 Stanley Cups there, and now he's going to work with hockey operations advisor to Jim Rutherford with the Penguins. And longtime Coyote Martin Hanzal, he officially hung him up as well. He spent 10 seasons in the desert, finished up with Dallas, battled a lot of back injuries at the end. He did say, when I went to see the doctor again, it was either do another surgery or be done playing. Even the doctor said, we're not sure another surgery will help. I still have a long life ahead of me. I don't want to do another surgery when it's not 100%. It won't even help. So these guys, a couple of warriors, we want to give them congratulations. Nice job. Great job in their careers.
I played with Marty.
I was going to say, Biz, you must have played.
Right? Yeah, he was always dealing with the back issues, man. He played a heavy game. He was a bigger guy. And, yeah, ultimately it took his career too soon. But he was big for us that year. We went to the conference finals. And even in the first 2 years I was there, the organization had made playoffs for the first time. And he was that big presence, had a really good run with Verbata and Ray Whitney. They were our go-to line during that cup run where fucking LA spanked us. So great career, Marty. He got some nice paydays too.
Yeah, good for him. And also, we want to let you know that these announcements have been brought to you by our friends at Budweiser Canada. And Biz, I know you had a little more info for us.
Let me pick that up right there. Where's the ad read? Budweiser Ultimate Sports Sweeps is on now, available across Canada. In specially marked cases of Budweiser is your chance to win tickets to both the Super Bowl and the Stanley Cup Final, plus other epic sports prizes. You'll also be able to redeem a coupon for a free bag of Ruffles chips in each one of these specifically marked cases. That was a tough word. Game time is our time. Visit ultimatesportssweeps.com for more info. That's ultimatesportssweeps.com for more info. No purchase necessary. Must be legal drinking age. And there's the dismount for the Budweiser Canada ad. Ladies and gentlemen,
over here. Good stuff.
Little stumble, but I recovered. Stuff.
All right. Yeah, I had Halloween costumes written down, but I don't know. I'm kind of bummed. I haven't actually gone to a party in years, but I'm kind of bummed. I really wish I could have like got gussied up, because as you saw in my photos I sent you earlier, when it comes to Halloween, I go all in, boys.
Shave, I don't know. Head.
Do whatever you do. I gotta do. Did you see that house somewhere in Texas that the guy, people go crazy for Halloween. This guy had like fake dismembered bodies on his lawn and on his porch with like fake blood all over the place. And people kept calling the cops, reporting dead bodies. He had like one fake body with like a safe had fallen and hit him in the head and like fake blood and brain splattered everywhere. That's going all fucking out for Halloween.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of Grinnelli, he's dressed as me in the summertime right now with that mask on.
That is about the same tone. Do you have any good Halloween stories? What are you going to dress the kid up as? This is more about the parents now that you have a kid.
Oh yeah, he's a hammerhead shark. He loves sharks, so we got his hammerhead shark costume. It's phenomenal. It's actually my dad's birthday. Shout out Big Dan Whitney on Halloween. So it's always fun for us.
And the scarecrow tat.
Yeah. So I'll probably send him a picture of your tattoo as a gift.
For sure.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Tell the Bugsy story.
No, I dressed up as Bugsy one year. I've told that. I got a bunch of tattoos on my chest. I had the shirt open wide. I had a big ass Bugsy wig on. And then I just carried around a bottle of the Jaeger all night and did the Bugsy voice. So that was pretty funny. We got wrecked.
What about the Halloween party where you and Bugsy both dressed up? I think you were dressed up as Wendy's and you paid for a wig.
Where did we? Ned was in town for that. And
was it Nashville?
It was it was in Pittsburgh. I don't remember the bar we were at. I had the Wendy's wig on. Who was he? Oh, he was some sort of fast food character, I believe. The last time I told this, I remembered what he was, but we just got buckled. And then we're sprinting down Carson Street in our costumes. I got the Wendy's wig on and people are like, that's Whitney. That's Malone. He's chasing me down. We actually ran into Diesel Biz. We ran upstairs and the next thing I see, like came around the corner. He'd already got a slice of pizza and slapped me in the face with it. So that was just the Halloween parties were the funnest time of one of the funnest parties of the year. It was every year, guys. You always did. You had a day off, or maybe you didn't have a day off. You just all grinded through the next day together. But, oh, my God. This is also before social media.
Well, at a certain point, too, guys started spending some serious dough on these Halloween costumes.
Yes, yes. Chatty did the dude from
Avatar?
Game of Thrones.
No, Game of Thrones.
One year, he did the Night King. What was that? Is it the Night King? The Ice King? It must have cost him a couple G's. It was legit, like Hollywood costume.
So you don't think many people are going to be doing the fancy ones this year? Even if there's, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be like a virtual Halloween or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be young kids having fucking parties who won't give a fuck. I mean, that's all they've been bitching about in Massachusetts. Yeah, no shit. Yeah,
should have a costume contest. Each one of us has to submit a photo, and we have our fans vote on it. No. I think I could beat you guys. No.
Oh, you would put, you got nothing to do all day besides think of your costume. You'd have some like, you'd have like a staff over like building a costume around you for like 3 days straight, and we'd get all dummied in the competition.
I've been checking out a couple of new shows. Obviously, like I said last week, got to catch up on my TV and movies biz. I don't know if you have Stars or not. I actually, it was only 99 cents during Prime Day, so I got Stars for like 99 cents for 2 months. There's a show on it. It's called P-Valley. P being short for, okay.
Sure, I'm intrigued. I just signed up. I literally just signed up.
Dude, it's a show. It's about a black strip joint in the Mississippi Delta. Like, I had heard about it, and I got Stars. I put it on. I'm about four reps in. It's fucking fantastic, man. I mean, there's not a lot of familiar faces on it, maybe one or two. But so far, so good, man. It's just a real different show. I mean, there haven't been too many TV shows about a strip joint, let alone a predominantly black one located in the Mississippi Delta and all the assorted characters that come in.
Based on a true story?
I don't believe so. I mean, it might be inspired by, you know, strip joints in that area. I'm not too familiar with the Mississippi Delta. But
all right, I'm going to dial it up.
It's definitely good shit. That, and if you got Showtime, there's a pretty good docu-series airing lately about the Comedy Store, the fabled comedy club in Los Angeles. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out, man. It's a pretty big part of comedy history in America. So if you're interested in that, by all means, check it out.
Without spoiling it for the people who haven't seen it, did you guys watch Bo Rat?
No, oh, yeah, that's the other one, yeah.
I saw the first one.
Okay, well, let's give it. Well, I guess we'd have to talk about it a month from now. Right. I'll say this, RA. It didn't do it for me like the first one, but it's still remarkable how he's able to pull off some of these scenes. And like the one with his daughter dancing. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. That was like
gruesome.
I couldn't. Like, we won't. Gruesome's the right word to summarize it, but that's it. But there were some scenes, man, that were wild. I felt like it gave me the, like, he wasn't the character as good in this one, given there probably had been so much time that had passed. It's kind of like when the Dumb and Dumber guys went back to being Dumb and Dumber finally again, where they just kind of like weren't, it wasn't during that time. So it just felt off a little bit to me.
And I also think
it landed flat.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say maybe an hour and I was starting to get a little disinterested, but
correct.
I think also, Biz, that what's changed is 14 years ago, you kind of had to entice people to say really stupid shit in front of a microphone on the news. Nowadays, you don't have to really prod too many people to do it. They're kind of willing to do it pretty easily. And I know a couple of people have already complained that they were framed different. It's like, dude, you had two strangers knock on your door, have you sign all these papers, and fucking you get interviewed, and then you're going to be like, oh, I got set up. It's like, what the fuck do you think? Like, just random strangers show up with foreign accents and they want to tape you. Like, that should have been a fucking clue.
Yeah, you got to have your radar on there.
Yeah. Sick PR team.
Yeah, seriously. So, all right. Well, that's the pop culture part of the episode. Now, we do have some sad news we need to get to, obviously. Beloved Edmonton locker room attendant for the Oilers and the then Edmonton Eskimos, Joey Moss. He passed away at 57, surrounded by family. He was a universally beloved figure, not only in Edmonton, but the sports world. He was inducted into the Alberta Sports Hall of Fame back in 2015. He was presented with an NHL All-Star Award a couple of years back. Family released a statement. They requested that in lieu of flowers, donations could be made to the WinifredStewart.com. It's an organization that empowers people with disabilities. Joey had Down syndrome. If you want to donate, just go to the site and click on donate. It's WinifredStewart.com. There's two N's in Winifred, and also Elliot Friedman has the tweet pinned on his page. That might be easier for you. Whit, obviously you were in Edmonton. You spent some time with Joey. Share some with us.
Oh, this was tough news to get. You know, you there's certain people like you meet in life and you get the chance to be around. You'll never, ever forget like the moments you had with him. And this guy was unreal. And so my, you know, what I knew about Joey before I got to Edmonton was I just remember seeing him in the 06 Cup Finals when he would belt out the anthem. He always sat like first row right behind the bench, behind the trainers. And he's belting out the anthem. It was unreal. And everyone kind of saw him and just what he meant to the team. And there was different stories. I think NBC at the time did a story about what he meant and what his role was with the Oilers. And for people who don't know, Wayne Gretzky actually was dating his sister, Vicky. And in 84, I think, convinced or the Oilers agreed, you know, he could come on and help. And so at the time, it was Barry Stafford was the equipment manager, along with Sparky, who Lyle Kuchiski. I hope I'm getting his name right, but Sparky, you were always just Sparky to me. I apologize, but I'm trying to get the story correct. And then Kenny Lowe came on later as an athletic trainer. But so he came in and they just hit it off, right? Like, this guy was so happy to be there. He also worked for the Edmonton Eskimos. 30 years he worked for these guys. And he became one of the boys. When I tell you I got in and met him, you think like it's one thing, and then all of a sudden when he's talking with everyone, he's giving people shit. Guys are giving him shit. He was just so much fun to be around, and he would do certain things every day that would make everyone laugh. Like, he lived life to the fullest. This guy was so happy, and I think that he did so much more for guys who got to meet him than they think they did for him, if that makes any sense. I got to talk to Gags today, Sam Gagne, who wrote an awesome piece in the Players Tribune. Go check it out about what Joey Moss meant to him. They were really close. I talked to Hork. Gags is going to come on and tell some of the stories the way he's got a great memory. So we're going to get to that at some point in this next month. But just going over some old things, like, this guy loved WWE. He loved wrestling so much. And the year, one of the years I was there, Penner and him would have these wrestling matches, dude. They were full-blown pay-per-view matches. We'd have 50 people.
That's all I heard about.
The whole organization would be in the room, and everyone would be absolutely going bananas as Joey would get brought in. He'd get brought in with his music. He'd play the villain. You know, Penner would be swinging this guy around his head. It was unreal, like the actual wrestling match they had. And about 4 minutes in, Joey would take it. The place would erupt Sparky'd get down. 1, 2, 3, Mosser! Place goes nuts. I actually have a video of it. I'll play the reaction as he pins him. I mean, the music starts pumping. He's dancing. He'd be singing la 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 bamba. La 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 bamba. He's unreal at singing that. So there were so many other things. Gags reminded me, oh, dude, this guy, no one in the world could drink hotter coffee than Joey Moss. He would take a pot of coffee that just came off 1,000 degrees. He'd throw it in the microwave for $1.50. $1.50, that's 110 seconds, if my math's correct. And he would sip on this thing that'd be burning through a styrofoam cup, no problem. He must have burnt all of his taste buds or feeling off of his tongue, because he crushed coffee at the highest temperature known to man. Gags goes, One time we lost him at the bar, because guys take him to the bar. We took him to WrestleMania at the movie theater. We would have him over. Guys would have him over. Guys would bring him to dinner every night. And Gags, they took him to the bar. They lost him, and they look on the dance floor, and he's line dancing to a country song. Part Oil City. Just Cogliano bought him a new watch. And every time it broke, he would go right to Cogs and ask him for a new one. Like, Cogs was the watch guy on the team. Dude, Ryan Jones,
I love this guy.
Hey, Ryan Jones went and bought this guy a 75-inch TV, and everyone went to his place at the big TV. He already had a 65-inch, or he just wanted a little bigger one.
So he was a bully. I love it.
Oh, there was, so then, like, guys would do this all the time. You know, Joey, you know, no beers, right? Maybe if there's a special treat, Joey could have a little bit of a beer. I don't know how that went down, but no beers allowed. And so, like, Hork would go over and, like, Joey would be sitting down and just slide a beer next to him and be like, Sparky, Joey's got a beer. And Sparky come flying in and be like, Mosser, are you 2 minutes penalty box? And you have to go stand outside the locker room for 2 minutes, right when his time was up, come back in. Just nonstop, like, him fucking with guys and guys fucking with him. Like, he was one of the best people ever. I think he's going to be so missed. And like I said, read Gags' article. So many former players said different things on social media, Instagram, Twitter, remembering him. And what really sucks is that what's going on with COVID and the borders, because there would have been an amazing turnout to celebrate his life. And that sucks. So somebody that'll never be forgotten, anyone who ever met him will never forget him. And certainly anyone who got to spend a lot of time with him, those Oilers. And then I should have bring up now, Jeff Lang and Harry are there now with TD4s and these guys who, once the old staff moved on, nothing changed with Joey, right? He was with everyone else and everyone took care of him. And we're all going to miss him. So rest in peace, Joe Moss, 57 amazing years. And anyone who met you was really lucky.
Oh, Fuck, well that said. Was awesome. Yeah, well awesome. Said, Whit. Thank you.
Hell of a tribute. And great again, guy. We want to send from the Chicklets family our deepest sympathies to Joey's family and many, many friends around the world. We were terribly saddened to hear about it. So, all right, gang, I think that'll wrap up this week's episode. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Have a great weekend, and you'll hear from us again next week. As always, we'd like to thank our fantastic sponsors here on Spit and Chicklets. So big thanks to our friends at New Amsterdam Vodka and Pink Whitney. Nice thank you to our friends over at NHTSA for keeping everybody safe on the roadways. Big thanks to our longtime friends at Roman for taking care of the fellas. Big thanks to everybody over at Cross Country Mortgage. Hopefully you're taking advantage of them if you're looking to refi or buy a house. Thanks to everybody at Peter Millar for making us look good on the golf course. And a huge thanks to our friends with Bud Canada, making sure you're taking everybody up north. Have a great week, everybody.
They did the match. They did the monster match. The monster match. It was a graveyard smash. They did the match. It caught on in a flash. They did the match. They did the monster match. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the match.
They played the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the match.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the match.
They played the monster match. Out from his coffin, Rex voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by...
Chapter 1. Wayfair welcomes you to the Waberhood. Our hero, Titus Burgess, ambled down the stylish street of an enchanting utopia. A woman waved from a chic lounger. "Welcome to the Waberhood," she said, "where Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love." Titus stared in awe. Bohemian Boulevard, Trendsetter Terrace, Mid-Century Circle.
Titus, You're reading the Wayfair catalog.
Oh, you'll love Chapter 2. Wayfair's fast and free shipping saves a potluck.
Wayfair, every style, every home.